Thank you. Thank you. Isaiah chapter 40, please. Thank you. All right, thank you, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Y'all crazy. And these guys acted just the same way at camp. Amen. I seen all of them. How many of y'all have been with the camp before, right? I know. I knew it. I knew I've been around y'all crazies. Amen. So praise the Lord for that. Isaiah 40 be our text today. But before we go forward, I want to thank Brother Young, Brother Collins, and of course Pastor Wilkerson for allowing this to be possible. It's so good to see my friend back there, Brother Abdel Judah. And I don't think this place realizes what they got when God brought that man here. And I love Brother Judah. He's like a little brother to me, and I love him very much. And I thank God for his friendship, and God is good there. And of course, it's so good to see Brother Stedman. I love that man of God. Faithfulness, as the longer you're in the ministry, you know, you just appreciate people that are just faithful more than ever. I remember this place. This place has gotten so many memories in my mind and my heart, you know, life-changing things that helped me get to where I am today. And, of course, I got the best gift after salvation in this place, that beautiful lady sitting there in the front row, and I thank God for her, my incredible wife, and who puts up with me as we pastor and travel all over the country. And the Lord's blessed us, 31 meetings this year, plus a TV ministry that preaches to 2 million people every week, deaf and hearing. And so the Lord just really, really blessed us, and we're so thankful for that. But before I go any further, I asked Brother Young and Brother Collins for permission to do this. He does not know we were going to do this, but in our midst today is a hero by my book. And before this college was started, a year before this college was started, my kids and my wife teased me on the way here. They said, "We know you're going to be crying today, Daddy." I'm a crier. He took a church about 40 minutes from here in Bridgeview, Illinois. And for 45 years, this month, this man has pastored the same church. He has beat cancer 3 times. He stayed faithful. His favorite quote is, "When a man walks with God, he gets to his destination." His favorite verse is Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, "That I may know him, and this man knows God." He didn't know I was going to do this today, but his church surprised him, and they're sitting in the balcony so they could kind of hide. But Pastor Clark, we've got some of your church members here today to come see this opportunity. We have to honor you, and I appreciate his assistant pastor, Brother Mike Ahern, who's become a dear friend of mine now already, who arranged all this, and his daughter, who was supposed to be here but has a sick child at home, which we're praying for, little Lucas. And Pastor Clark doesn't know this. I would like to take a moment and honor this great man. This man of God. So Pastor Clark, would you come up here for just a second? And Mrs. Clark, we got something for you too. Come on. We got something for you. Come on. Come on down here, Mrs. Clark. Come on up here, Pastor Clark. Oh, you wait for his wife. His wife's coming down. I think she's... Mrs. Clark, just jump off the balcony. Somebody will catch you. Just body surf through the crowd, amen. You can go ahead and be seated. But let me just say just a little bit about Pastor Clark, and we have some gifts for him today. My son, go ahead, buddy. And my son has a plaque that's a gift from our church for 45 years of faithfulness, and a card with a $100 gift card to his favorite restaurant, Cracker Barrel. And by the way, there's going to be a Cracker Barrel in heaven someday, I promise you that. And Pastor Clark's wife is coming, Mrs. Clark, and behind every man of God that's been faithful is a great lady, and we have some chocolates and some flowers for her. My wife would like to give to Mrs. Clark. This is Mrs. Clark over here, and we thank God for her. Seven years ago, God allowed me to stay. Just a second, hang on. I know you don't like this, Pastor Clark, but when I'm at your church, you're the boss. But today, Brother Young and I are your boss, okay? More him than me, okay? More him than me. 7 years ago, I got a phone call from a pastor who asked me to come preach a missions conference for him. And I said, I'm sorry, preacher. I think you have the wrong person. I do youth meetings. I don't do missions. I love missions. I've been on mission trips. I've preached in foreign countries. And for the young enough, I talked to you in the Philippines, and I love the Philippines. And I'm going to the Bahamas next month. Yes, I really am going on a mission trip. I know you don't believe that, but preaching a deaf conference down there, but I will get to snorkel. But anyway, and he asked me, and I said, I think you got the wrong guy. And I'm so glad he insisted on me coming, because I went literally straight from college into the ministry and started pastoring at 22 years old. I didn't have a pastor. When you're 22 and you take a church of a little over 20 voting members, you don't have a pastor. But God gave me a Paul for 7 years. This Timothy has watched this Paul, and he's my hero. And listen, I don't know what the rules are around this place, but if I'm saying something wrong here, then forgive me. But every preacher boy in this church ought to, before they graduate, spend some time with this man before you leave this college. He's only 40 minutes from here. I would go out, I'd take him out to lunch, and I'd pick this man's brain. This man has forgotten more about the ministry than I'll ever learn. 45 years of the same church, and he has been a true testimony, standing by the old KJB. He still has the standards that he had 45 years ago, which many contemporaries don't. And he's inspired this young preacher to say, you know what? If it worked for me, it'll work for somebody else. We're not changing our music. We're not changing our dress standard. We're not changing any of that stuff. And this man has been a pillar for that for 45 years in the Chicagoland area. And so I wanted to take some time today just to honor this preacher and tell you that a lot of times we don't know about a lot of God's best secrets that are kept across this country. But this man right here, I believe in heaven, I'll sit back and watch God honor him. And then I know his spirit, he'll turn right around and throw it back to the Savior who he's preached so faithfully for 45 years. So Pastor Bill Clark, I love you. I thank God for you. And I want you to know that we feel like we should honor you today. So thank you, Pastor Clark. I preached chapel a few years ago here, but I've always wanted to do this. There, if I like it, I did it. All right. Isaiah chapter 40 this morning. Isaiah chapter 40. I'll not preach real long. Again, thank you, Brother Young. And I'll have lunch here, and then I'll be heading over to Hammond Baptist High School's chapel at 2. Thank you, Brother Judah, for working that out. I sure enjoyed being around your young people at the school camp and stay in touch with many of them. Cowling, the Cowling boy, texts me all the time. He texted me the other day a picture of the fire and a thumbs up. He said they're still on fire, and so that was a blessing to hear that. For the first few minutes of this message, I want you to stay with me by way of a little bit of an introduction. And I want to talk a little bit about how Isaiah had a short journey or a short tenure in Bible college and learned the most important truth before he would write famous verses like the verse we're going to read today. Let's stand together one more time, stretch our legs, and look at Isaiah 40, verse 31. It's only 11:33. I'll be done just right on time. We'll be fine. We're doing good on time. Thank you again, Brother Young and Brother Collins, for letting me honor this great man of God. And Pastor Clark, thank you so much. And Brother Aaron, Brother Larry, thank you for arranging this. And Brother Stedman, thank you also for being here today, too. That really means a lot. Isaiah 40, verse 31, the Bible says this, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." Let's take our Bibles and go to Isaiah chapter 5, and we'll be in Isaiah 5 and 6 the rest of the message, and let's pray. Father, we are so thankful to be here today. Lord, it does not matter who preaches today, as long as the who is preached. And Lord, thank you for being the who for 2,000 years of our salvation and for the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection. Thank you, Jesus, for being the reason Pastor Clark could be faithful. And as I stand on this platform, I think behind me to Brother Young, who's been right around 40 years ministry. And thank you for this great man's faithfulness. And Lord, we know it's all because of what you've done for us. Lord, as I stand here before this incredible student body, I remember those days when I sat out where they're sitting and dreamed about what could be. Lord, I'm so excited about the potential that sits before me. I'm encouraged because there's still hope for America, and there's hope for this world. Lord, touch these young people's hearts, both young man and young lady, and thank you for these faithful staff members who minister to them. Lord, today I ask one simple request, that we might see you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Isaiah is an incredible book of the Bible. It's got to be one of the most famous, well-known books in all the Bible. There's 66 chapters in the book of Isaiah, and arguably, you can make the case that Isaiah is the whole Bible in one book. Some would make the case that the first 39 chapters talk more about law and judgment, just like the Old Testament does. And then the second 27, or the second portion of 27 chapters of Isaiah, talk about grace and salvation, which is a good type of the New Testament. We know that Jesus Christ himself quoted from the book of Isaiah. Isaiah is called a major prophet. We know there's some incredible things in this book and famous verses that talk about the blood of Jesus Christ. Famous verses that talk about the virgin birth. There's even verses in this book about the millennium. I mean, it literally covers almost everything you want to imagine in all the Bible. And of course, famous verses like Isaiah 40 verse 31, which we just read. Isaiah was living in a time in Jewish history and Israel's history, which was very similar, comparable to what we are experiencing now in the United States of America. For in just a few weeks, we find out who the next leader of the free world is. And sad to say, it's definitely not somebody that I think represents what's best for America. America's got a lot of problems. America's got a lot of situations. America's, a lot of times it seems like there's a lot of gloom and doom and there's not much hope. But may I say to you today, after traveling all over this country and being a part of revivals and camps, there's still hope for America. It's time to stop listening to MSNBC and CNN and even Fox News and realize that there's still good things happening. That God is on his throne and he's not limited by anybody. No president, no Supreme Court, no Congress can control or limit the power and the righteousness of God. God is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He always has been and he always will be. And someday there will be no election, and someday there'll be no primary, and someday there'll be no need for some kind of a candidacy. The king will sit on his throne and the whole earth will understand and recognize that the Son of God who hung on the cross 2,000 years ago and shed his blood and lived again 3 days later will be King Jesus for all eternity. And I can't wait till that day. And boy, that day is coming. And boy, that day is coming sooner than later. And I can't wait till the day we get to shout and praise his name for all eternity. And we get to adore him and worship him at his feet. And just praise him. And see the nail-scarred hands and the abused body. And just adore him and sing a song the angels can't sing. And I don't sing very much. My family won't let me sing with them. I just sign. They S-I-N-G-I-S-I-G-N. They tried to get me to learn parts and harmony. I don't even know who Melody is yet. I heard she's a nice girl, so I don't sing very much. But I will say this today, one day when I get to heaven, I'm going to sing so loud my mom and dad won't be deaf no more. Hallelujah. They're going to hear the voice of Jesus and it's going to be a wonderful time. But until that day, we've got some work to do. In the first five chapters of Isaiah, you see Isaiah portraying a very bleak picture of Israel. And God says, Isaiah, I want to do something for you and I want to show you some things. And before I set you loose on this crowd and let you become one of the great prophets of all time, let's have a chat. And in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 1, God pours his heart out. In fact, if you have a Scofield Bible, it says it's the parable of Jehovah's vineyard. We know God the Father was endeared to Israel. As Israel is still the apple of his eye, and one day he will restore that relationship. And thank God this Gentile has been saved by his son, Jesus Christ, and I'm a part of the Gentile bride. But in verse 1, the Bible says, now I will sing to my well-beloved, a song of my beloved, touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. And look at this. And he fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof and planted it with the choicest vine and built a tower in the midst of it and also made a wine press therein. And he looked at it should brought forth grapes, but it brought forth wild grapes. It's been discussed and said before that maybe America is a New Testament type of Israel, and I think we can make that case. And no matter what our president says or anybody says or the media says, this country was founded on biblical principles. This country was founded on Judeo-Christian values. And I don't apologize for that. I thank God for that. Some have even made the argument that the three middle letters of Jerusalem are USA. Isn't that interesting? J-E-R-U-S-A-L-E-M. There's a lot of parallels to two countries in the history of mankind that were obviously designed and with the intent of starting as a country that was originated and started by God. It's Israel and the United States of America. And God has used our country greatly. In fact, missionaries talk to me all the time about how we've got to continue to take the stand and keep America the way it should be, because America has been an incredible golden cup holder for missions works. And boy, millions and millions and millions of souls will be in heaven because God used America as a shining light. But now America finds itself in the very same place as Israel because God put a tower in the midst and God hedged it about and God blessed his country and God sent fear around this world. And the world used to tremble at the thought of the United States of America. People still want to come here because of the power and the majesty of the United States of America. But when God was expecting grapes, we are now producing wild grapes. And so God takes Isaiah, stay with me now, and he says, Isaiah, I've got a few things I want to say. And Isaiah is going to pin these things down. And he says, I'm going to give you some woes, W-O-E, woe, meaning old time preaching puts your finger in somebody's face. We need that again in America. Don't say amen too much yet, because we got a little bit before we get to the real point of the message. But it's true, we need old-fashioned preaching. So let's look at these woes in Isaiah chapter 5. Now stay with me, okay? Number 1, verse 8. Woe unto them to join house to house, to lay field to field, till there be no place, that they may be placed alone in the midst of the earth. This is a good description of America today. Nobody's steady anymore. Everybody hops around. Jobs change. Marriages changing all the time. House to house, field to field. That's a good description of America. God says, woe to that crowd. In other words, a lack of faithfulness. What we just honored in Pastor Clark is not what we see in America today. And God says, woe to that crowd. Look at verse 11. Woe to them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that continue until night, till wine inflame them. Yes, God is anti-alcohol. God is still against liquor. And it's a sad day and age when our country takes a stronger stand on cigarettes than they do liquor. Somebody help me right there. Our politicians should be consistent and realize that liquor has killed and destroyed more families and lives than our cigarettes have ever killed and destroyed. And Isaiah says, God, I'm with you. I say woe to that crowd too. And I feel comfortable even hearing you say that. And I got to come down here if that's okay, man. I like to move around a little bit. And so we see that here. And Isaiah says, woe to that crowd too. That's number 2. That's the second woe. Look at number 18, verse number 18. Isaiah says, woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity and sin as it were a cart rope. My dad turns 77 years old next month, my deaf father. And he's my Sunday school teacher at my church. And he tells me all the time, Randy, I wish you knew the America I knew in the 50s when people were ashamed of their sin. Where people weren't proud of their sin. But the Bible says here, woe to the crowd that says, hey, we're here. We're proud of our sin. Deal with it. The Bible says they put it on public display. They put it on carts and drag it down Main Street and even make our children. My son, who's 11 years old, has had to ask me questions about things in our country that I didn't even know about when I was his age. Because they've been boastful and proud of their sin. And we live in that generation today. Good is pushed down and wickedness is raised up. Stay with me now. In verse number 20, the Bible says this. Here's the other woe. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Do I even need to say anything else after that verse? That verse is very accurate. That's America today. America has now raised up that which is wicked and put down that which is good. They have replaced their appreciation for good and morality and actually worship at the altar of immorality and wickedness. Another woe is verse number 21. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. What is that? That's the universities and colleges all across America. And by the way, young people, you ought to thank God for a Bible college. By the way, if you went to Christian school, or you were homeschooled, you ought to thank God for that. I'm a public school kid, born and raised. Well, actually, I was born in a hospital, but raised public school kid all my life. Lost and on my way to hell, was a football jock, won some state championships. But you know what I heard in my school system? I was taught that God did not exist. I was taught that we came from monkeys. I was taught all these crazy theories that they call. But they think they're smarter than God. And by the way, preachers, don't get too smart for God. Remember that God is God and we are a nobody without God. And God says, woe to that crowd. And can I say something? Isaiah is just like you and me today. We're saying amen to that woe. You get it, God. You're on it, God. You're spot on. I'm saying amen. I agree with you, God. Keep after it. Keep after it. Keep after it. And God says, okay, let's give you one more woe. Just in case you didn't get it the first time, look at verse number 22. Woe to them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink. You think God's trying to make a point about alcohol? God says, woe to these crowds. God says, woe to these problems and to these issues. And may I say to you, I amen everything God said woe to. And I agree with everything God just said. And I join with Isaiah and say, Isaiah, I'm not perfect, but I don't want to draw iniquity with cords of vanity on streets and boast of the sins. In fact, I'm embarrassed by my sin. I'm disgusted by my sin. I have to beg God for forgiveness all the time. I'm not proud of my sin. I'm only proud of what God has done in my life through His Holy Spirit of God and His grace and His mercy. And God, Isaiah, I'm with you. I don't need alcohol. I have a good time in life without alcohol. And Isaiah, I'm with you. I don't want to be like those university professors that say that there's no such thing as a God. And I'm with you, Isaiah. And I'm with you, God. And I say amen. And I say woe to that crowd too. And Isaiah's writing it all down. He starts feeling pretty good about himself, just like we do sometimes. Listen, we've been saved by the grace of God. But then God does something in the next chapter before he sets him loose on this whole crowd. And I want you to look at me in Isaiah chapter 6. And if you take notes, number one, there's a situation at hand. Isaiah is dealing with a situation just like we are now in America. The situation, number two, is sin is rampant. It's always been a problem, but boy, it's on steroids today. Number three, though, God says, before I set you loose, and before you write Isaiah 40, and before you write Isaiah 9, and before you write all these incredible chapters that they're going to quote about, that they're still going to preach about in a Hiles Anderson College chapel in 2016, thousands of years later after Isaiah pins this, before you do all these things, I want to show you something. Isaiah chapter 6, the Bible says this, and I love this. Hold my mule while I shout a while. In verse 1, the Bible says this. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face. With twain he covered his feet. And with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And look at verse 4. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. And the house was filled with smoke. Listen, young people, let's paint a picture right now. Isaiah has been journeying through the first five chapters as he writes. And he's with God. He's saying, woe to this crowd, woe to that crowd. And all of a sudden God brings him in. And God doesn't say a word. God just shows up. And can I tell you something right now? While you're in Bible college, you need to learn all these woes. But what you need to learn also is how to get God to show up at things. Because without God, there's no worth in having church. Without God, there's no point to preaching. Without God, there's no point to singing. Without God, there's no point to soul winning. We need God again. And Isaiah sees God. And when God shows up, he doesn't say anything. His entourage is angels and seraphims who cover their face with two wings, who cover their feet with two wings. And they preach one message. And it's 3-point outline. Holy! 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 And they say it again, holy! 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 And they say it again, holy! 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 America has forgotten the holiness of God because the church has forgotten the holiness of God. God is still holy. God is still righteous. God is still powerful. God is still just. God is still perfect. God is still omnipotent. God is still omnipresent. God is still omnipotent. Listen, I'm talking about a God who spoke the universe into existence. I'm talking about a God who walked on water. I'm talking about a God who in Genesis 1:16, he made the stars also. Whoa, I love that's where the crow held it. Hey. He spoke the stars into existence. That's my God. And when God shows up, smoke fills the room. The posts start to shake. The red carpet gets rolled out. And Isaiah sits there and he can't believe what he sees. And all of a sudden, he forgets chapter 5. And he says three words. Woe is me. You see, when I compare myself to the liberal crowd and the wicked crowd, I feel pretty good about myself. When I preach to that crowd and I say woe to them, I get on my high horse sometimes. When I read the front page of most newspapers, Brother Judah, I start saying, man, look at my family. My girls don't drink. They don't smoke dope. They ain't online in juvie center like I preach all the time. My wife's a beautiful lady, loves the Lord. We got it pretty good. What's happened in America is we Christians have stayed in Isaiah chapter 5. And we've preached the woe to that crowd. And we've actually become the God of the woe. But when you journey into Isaiah chapter 6 and you compare yourself to God, you say the same thing that you said to the Isaiah 5 crowd. And when you see God in his holiness and you see God in his righteousness and you see God in his purity and you see God for who he is, there's only a proper response. And Isaiah joins with the same crowd he's preaching to. He says, woe is me. Woe is me. Number one, there's a situation. Number two, there's sin. Number three, there was a seeing. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5. Then said I. What did he say, young people? Say it again. Tell your neighbor, woe was me. Tell your neighbor, woe was you. Tell your neighbor, woe was all of us. Because when you see God, all of a sudden, you realize this, that if the difference between me and the so-called wicked crowd that we're preaching to out there is the difference between the distance of Howells Anderson College in Jefferson City, Missouri, then the difference between me and God is the distance between Howells Anderson College and Mars. Meaning I relate a whole lot more to that crowd I just preached against in Isaiah 5 than I do this holy, powerful, righteous God. So what does Isaiah do? Look at this, and I'm through. I'm just about through. Stay with me now. Everybody okay? Say amen. He says, then said I, woe is me, for I am, next word, because I am a man, watch this, I am a man of what? And I dwell in the midst of a people of what? Wait a minute, isn't that the same crowd he just preached to in Isaiah 5? All of a sudden he says, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I'm just like these people I'm preaching to of unclean lips. Now watch this now. I heard a preacher say this recently. He said, 70% of our sins are committed with our lips. And I said, I don't know about all that. And I started studying the Bible. He's right. Don't be critical. Use your mouth for good. Complaining and praise can't come out the same fountain. Somebody help me right there. Realize how good life's been to you, how good God's been to you. Like my family just sang about. You know, I like both of those songs on purpose. You know why? Because I love the word amazed. And I love to sign that word. You saw me sign it. I'm amazed. I'm humbled. I'm shocked. I'm in awe. I can't believe this God who created this universe, who, listen, he knows my name. He knows everything about me. He cares about me in spite of all my failures and all my sins. This God, he went out of his way to die on the cross. He shed his blood. Hey, he saved my soul as a lost public school kid. He reached down and plucked me out of the miry clay. He put my feet on a rock. My name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. All my sins are gone. I'm a child of God. Hey, God is my Father. Jesus is my Savior. Holy Ghost is my comforter. The Bible is my book. Heaven is my home, and the rapture is my hope. Hey, can I talk to you about somebody special? I got a God in heaven who knows my name. Hallelujah. I'm glad I know who Jesus is. I'm glad I know who Jesus is. Now watch what he says. I love this. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Woo. I don't even think we could handle this. Could you imagine if all of a sudden the post of that balcony started shaking? First Baptist Church of Bridgeview would get real nervous real quick. And you heard God's entourage. Stinking rap artists always have their entourages. Wearing pants that fit me and they're skinny. Somebody help me right there. I can't ever find my pant size because some little twerpy 17-year-old who grew his first armpit hair is wearing my pants. Somebody help me right there. And they got these entourages and they got their bling bling. And they look all that. And they walk in and say, we're here now. The party can start now. They always have to tell you how wonderful they are. God don't have to do that. God has not even spoken yet. You listen to me? God didn't even speak and Isaiah's shouting, woe is me, woe is me, I'm an unclean lips. God hasn't said one word yet. He just showed up. Woo! Brother Young, when God shows up, you better get out the way. What's the sermon? What's the series? What's the church growth method? Holy, holy, holy. Hold on a second. I'm trying to take notes. What's the method? Holy, holy, holy. Okay, I got that the first time. What's the point number three? Holy, holy, holy. That's all we got to preach. A holy God who loves an unholy people. Let me finish up. Look at this. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. This is interesting. And he laid it upon my mouth. Ouch. And said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Now he speaks. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Isaiah shows up for this Bible college first day. It's the first week of Bible college. And they're going to have a revival to bring the students back. He shows up at the front door. He gets a nice little guest bag, you know. You know, been to a conference, they give you a little bag with pens and some chocolates in there. And you know, you walk in and you sit in, and Isaiah look around, nobody around. No music. No piano. And Isaiah's feeling pretty good about himself. Then God shows up. Isaiah sees God. And he hears the angels. And God says, well, I'm just wondering out loud, whom I'll send. Who's going to go for us? I've heard lots of missionaries preach on this passage, but it's really not a missions passage. It's a passage for everybody that has seen God. And Isaiah's standing there, and God says, who's going to go? And Isaiah looks around to his left, and nobody's there. And everybody, Isaiah looks around to his right, and he says, I'll go. And here's the message I want every one of you to hear before you go and you set the woods on fire. Whether you pastor a church, teach in a Christian school, go to the mission field. Listen, you got a big God today, young man. You dream big. I never dreamed God would do what he's done in my life. I never even planned this out. God, you give your life to God and you watch what God can do. My baby right here can testify. We could stand up here all day and tell you about what God's done in all these parts of the country and around the world and the things he's done at our church. Brother Young, I'm staying amazed. And all you have to do is say, here's the fourth word, surrender. It says, here am I, send me. And here's God's one word sermon. Go, verse number 9, go. I close, and here's my question to you, and here's the title of the message today. Are you an Isaiah 5 Christian or an Isaiah 6 Christian? Are you an Isaiah 5 Christian? Or are you an Isaiah 6 Christian? Father, thank you for this opportunity.